Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, September 5th, 2011. Happy Labor Day to my USA listeners. Hope you're having a great day. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's pre-recorded episode, Money Talk Needs to Come Before the Bride and Groom Walk, with my guest, Dr. Taffy Wilkins Wagner, marriage advocate, ordained minister, and author. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners, whether you're listening live on the phone lines, you're on the website, maybe you're in the chat room, or you could be listening to this show from our archives after the recording was aired. In any case, I'm so honored you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. One of the easiest ones is just to click the follow button, and you'll get an announcement in your email each week reminding you of the show and announcing the episode. Now, for those of you who have always wanted to write a book, I want to say a few words to you for just a moment. I know that there are lots of you because you've told me so. Perhaps you've always wanted to write a book, but for whatever reason, you've hesitated to get started. Or you may have gotten started, and maybe you've written pages and pages for maybe weeks, maybe for months. Some of you have been writing your book for years, and yet it's still not published. If this sounds like you, I invite you to get a copy of my home study workshop, How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. I will show you in this workshop how to go from choosing your title to getting your book written quickly and marketed effectively. Most important, in the workshop, I will share with you how to start earning money from your book before it's even finished. Now, how good is that, huh? So, download your copy of the Home Study Workshop at my website, www.abookin90days.com. As soon as you place your order, you will be able to download the course and you could get started working on it today. I'm going to now give you the pre-recorded version of our talk today, Money Talk with Dr. Wagner. On this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, to get at that goal, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about all of those things which contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode, we have Dr. Taffy Wagner, a certified educator in personal finances, money and marriage advocate, and an ordained minister. Her topic today is Money Talk Needs to Come Before the Bride and Groom Walk, a very important topic, and she is just the one to share this with us because she is the author of Bride and Groom Money Talk Frequently Asked Questions, also Debt Dilemma and Home Buyer's Helper. Dr. Wagner has been interviewed by the Denver Business Journal, Bob Brinker Money Talk, AOL Black Voices,
The Associated Press, U.S. News and World Report, Hull Magazine, and Woman's Day regarding handling money before and after saying I do. She provides premarital and postmarital financial counseling, as well as seminars for individuals, couples, single parents, and small groups regarding personal finances, home ownership, and women's issues. That covers just about all of us. Dr. Wagner is the financial columnist for BlackBride.com, Wedzilla.com, Black Bride and Groom Magazine, and AdviceAndInfo.com. She holds a doctorate of ministry in biblical counseling, a master's degree in human resources management, a bachelor's degree in business administration management, and an associate degree in paralegal studies. She's a veteran of the United States Armed Forces, and she resides in metropolitan Denver area with her husband Eric and their twins, Erica and Cody. Thank you so much for being on the show, and welcome, Dr. Taffy Wagner.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I am delighted because this topic is one of those that we have neglected for generations. I know I don't remember having a money talk with my husband before we got married. We just sort of assumed that we would know what to do. So you teach on money and marriage, and I bet you that money is probably one of the biggest problems in marriage if people haven't talked about it, right?
It is. They're still not talking about it. Even if they know mom and dad have struggled to pay for the wedding, they're still not talking about it.
Whoa.
They'll discuss it when it comes to wedding planning, but we're not going to talk about it when it comes to the marriage.
Oh. Now, let's get personal with you. Did you come to your marriage without any financial baggage?
Absolutely not. I had so much baggage. I tell you, my husband should have ran because I had the slow pace, and, you know, the bills had piled up. And as I was meeting him, I was in the process of becoming evicted because I hadn't paid my rent from, you know, choices that I made. I decided to go back to school, and they didn't want to accommodate me at the job. So I said, well, I'm going to quit and go to school. Well, you know, when you do that, you don't have money coming in. And it upset me to think that they would evict me because I said, I've never missed, you know, a rent payment. This is the first time. What do you mean you're going to evict me? You know, and so we went through all that. So he was, you know, meeting me in the process of my becoming homeless for a period of time.
Wow.
And it was just like, oh, my gosh, that was such a time in my life where you couldn't tell me anything. Because I was so strong in my faith, and, you know, I was going back to school for God, and God had told me, you know, these things.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had their own battle. You know, everybody in the class had their own different battles. And I was like, okay. And at the time, I really knew nothing about a temporary service. Because when I look back, I think, well, how come somebody didn't tell me to go to a temp service? You know? But it never came up.
Mm-hmm.
It never came up. And so there I was, becoming homeless, meeting my husband, and I had the baggage. I had my own financial baggage and behavior that would lead you to say, you might want to go on to the next.
Well, you're blessed that your husband stuck it out and stayed with
yes.
you. There was something there that he saw that was of value, so I'm happy for that. Now, was he prepared to manage the money within the marriage, or did he present his own financial behavior?
I tell you, he had his own baggage, Flora. He was bringing to the table, he had been divorced and had bankrupted from a previous marriage, not paying bills, you know. So it was like we were peas in a pod. But we knew that we both were hard workers, because it wasn't that I didn't want to work, and the reason I quit, you know, because I wanted to go back to school, but I approached the job and I had said to them, would you accommodate the schedule and let me come in at a later time? And I did that because I knew they did it for other workers at the job.
Yes, yes.
But they told me no. Everybody else had been told yes. And I said, you know what? I got to go on with what God is telling me.
That's right.
And I tell you what, Flora, everybody who was hired with me, they mm-hmm. all got fired within 30 days of my leaving.
Oh.
And I said, see, we just never know how much we're being protected.
That's right. And it's interesting you use that word protected, because I went to a seminar early in this year that one of the speakers said sometimes rejection is protection.
Yes.
And it's interesting that sometimes when you're getting rejected by on a job or whatever, sometimes it's because there's something greater out there and you're really being protected, as in your case, you were being protected from being fired later anyway.
I sure was.
That's wonderful. Now, how does an engaged couple begin this talk about money and marriage? I mean, it's not something that we normally or historically have thought we needed to do before marriage. So how do they begin this?
What they, primarily what they need to do is, while they're sitting down and discussing all these wedding plans and how much it's going to cost for the caterer and the invitations and these types of things, they should say, okay, well, let's take it to the next level. What about when we move in together into this house or this apartment that we're going to get? What is the financial obligations you are bringing into the marriage? What do I need to know so that we can handle this and set a financial plan so that it's successful? Because they're talking about those bills, and they need to understand we are bringing together two different backgrounds when it comes to money. Let's put it on the table. Let's not, you know, we're so in love, and we don't have to talk about that. We can push it off till later, because that's what's happening a lot. And but then I get these emails sometimes the 6 days after they get back from the honeymoon saying, we're not going to make it because of all the debt or all the bills that they didn't know about. And it's, and my whole point is, well, guess what? The debt didn't just happen within those 6 days that you returned home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice not to address it. But I like to say to couples, we adults now. We're making some adult decisions when we walk down that aisle.
Yes.
Let's put it on the table and let's have some frank discussions. You might not like it, mm-hmm. but it can turn out for the better
yes.
if you go ahead and address it.
So it requires a lot of courage and a lot of openness and honesty to get into it, that.
It does, and it shows that you are willing to be an adult and not think of yourself as children. Because I always say, you are an adult, and mommy and daddy might not pay for your wedding, because that day has happened where some brides and grooms are paying for their own wedding.
Oh, okay.
And you have to be able to live with, did we overspend on the wedding, and we're not going to have regrets when we come back? Because I've seen those stories, too, where they come back and they'll say, well, we really could have done without,
yes.
you know, certain things. And now we have the bill from it.
Yes. That's amazing. Before we get any further, I would love for you to tell the listeners how they can reach you. Tell us a little bit about your book, how to get your book, about your counseling services, and your contact information. Would you do that?
I definitely will. So the book title is Bride and Groom Money Talk FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. And it really goes into, what do we do if someone is bringing debt into the marriage? How do we handle if the bride's parents don't want to pay and she's so down and the fiance is saying, how do I cheer her up? What can I do? Also, it'll go into, what do we do if somebody becomes self-employed or if someone loses a job and they're paying for the wedding? How do we handle, you know, now we're operating on less income.
Mm-hmm.
So it really gets in deep for all those questions that you could be thinking about but you're afraid to ask. It really is that resource, because it's over 70 questions in there with answers.
Wow.
The book can be
a good book for people to buy and have in hand when they have this discussion, because then it's coming from the book and not from them personally.
Absolutely. So that it should be less threatening. And
right.
It doesn't automatically say, well, no, you're the one to blame. It doesn't do that. It says, let's look at the big picture of what it is that we're wanting to accomplish in our marriage. I really try to get them beyond the wedding day, because, my thing is, do you really want to spend $25,000, $50,000 on one day?
Yes.
And you have student loans, and you're talking about buying a house, and some people are bringing in children.
Yes.
Not saying that you shouldn't have a wedding, but saying operate within your financial comfort level.
Yes.
So that you're not causing mom and dad to go into debt for a wedding, or you're not causing you and your fiance to go into debt because of this beautiful day. The book can be purchased at www.brideandgroommoneytalk.com, which is my site, and they can also write me there. My counseling practice is set up to deal with engaged couples, newlyweds, and those who are married beyond newlywed. And I do get single parents. I grew up in a single parent household. I can talk with them very well about being financially independent and savvy as a single parent, and the example that you should be setting for your children.
Oh, okay. That's very
Absolutely.
Important.
Yes.
This sounds like a book that those of us who have young adult children should purchase and pass
yes.
out.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because I've gotten contacted by, I had a mom that contacted saying, you know, my son is getting married, and oh my goodness, the bride-to-be was so wanting to spend all his money, and the mom was very upset, and she was like, I'm trying to get him to understand if he's doing this right now and you're uncomfortable right now, this is what's going to happen during the marriage. And I said, well, you're absolutely right, because the engagement time is exactly a glimpse of what's going to happen throughout the marriage. When it comes to money.
Right, right.
Yes.
So the website is www.brideandgroommoneytalk.com. And we can get the book there. Now, can they also find out about counseling and sign up for services there?
Yes, they can. And I have different levels of service. You know, some people only need to discuss one topic and they need 1 hour. And so that's there. For my premarital counseling clients, I have two different session types. I have a 4-week session and an 8-week session. And the 4-week is saying, if you're just focusing on the wedding and the marriage, just that part of it. And then the 8 weeks is saying, marriage and life. Let's go beyond, you know, those first, you know, the first 2 weeks, because we want to talk about parenting and we want to talk about child support and life insurance and handling elderly parents that might come back into your household. How do we deal with those things? So I really get into it, because it's not saying that it's going to all hit you today, but it's saying let's be prepared and let's be solution-oriented so when it arises, we don't get upset
right.
and we're not reacting to situations emotionally.
Yes, that's wonderful. I'm so happy you have this service. Now, let me ask you about, you talk about the wedding and paying for it. Should couples take out a loan to pay for their wedding, do you think?
Oh, no, not at all. Because here's what happens when you if you have set that budget and you're realistic about it and you can speak to the budget, then you won't have to do a loan. But if you kind of guesstimated and you just kind of threw something out there and you find out that all these little things add up and you become short and you're deciding whether or not you should take a loan, the loan says that you are betting on money tomorrow that you may not have. You're betting on a job that you may not even have. And we've all seen job cuts.
That's right.
And how it's affected so many families. And so I don't advocate taking a loan. I advocate going back and revisiting that budget. What do you have left that you need to pay? What are some of the things that you haven't even purchased? And cut them out. Because for some people, it's a big party. And there are people who are going to be there to make comments about how you dress, how you walk down the aisle, what your groom look like, what the cake look like. They don't need to be there.
No.
Mm-mm. Make it the wedding that you dreamed of and not what society has dreamt of for you.
Yeah, those expectations are terrible, because sometimes it's not even about what the bride and groom personally want. They're all the expectations of their family, their friends, and this kind of wanting to show off sometimes to show off an influence they don't even have.
That's right. That's right. And then they have the headaches later. And, you know, I've had people tell me at bridal shows, oh, I knew my granddaughter's wedding wasn't going to last. I knew it before she got married. They didn't even like each other. And I'm like, why didn't you speak up? But they don't speak up because I don't want to hurt her feelings. She won't talk to me anymore. And I'm like, okay, so you're going to be willing to risk her not talking to you for a small period of time.
That's right.
Versus her coming back now and saying, okay, now we're getting divorced, and I need X amount of thousands of dollars to help pay for the divorce and the kids and the house and those things.
Now, what if a bride and groom are paying for a wedding, and then one of them suddenly loses a job? Should they move forward with this wedding, you think?
What they need to do is they need to say, okay, here's where we are right now with the finances, the things that we've paid, here's what the balance is that's left. Now that the job loss has occurred, can we still make it happen on the income that we have? And if we cannot make it happen on the income we have, then we need to make some adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that happens a lot that I see is brides and grooms are saying, I'm going to pay for the wedding. And then parents come in and say, oh, well, I'm going to contribute a portion, but they can't guarantee them when they're going to get that money. And brides and grooms need that money for deposits. So now they're all upset because they can't get the money when they need it. And so I'd rather they budget it out on their own income. And if mom and dad kick something in later, it's all good. but do it based on your own income. And so if the if somebody has lost a job, then say, okay, is there some temporary work you can do? Have you ever heard of so-and-so's temporary service? Get in your phone book. Is there something that you own that you don't even use anymore? Can you sell some stuff on eBay? Or can you put something on Craigslist? But go and get a part-time job. Do something to say, you know what, it might not be the job that I'm going to be for at a long time. However, it'll meet the need that I have right now.
Now, we've talked about entering the marriage with debt, and I suspect that many of us have done that. Is the bride and groom bringing this debt into a marriage, can this be a deal breaker for the marriage?
Well, it can be a deal breaker if you on the other end, whether you are the bride or groom, if you are someone that has not had debt before and you are very good at managing money and you pay for things with cash, you might have a credit card, but you don't have a balance on it.
Right.
And the person coming in has such overwhelming debt. We're talking $30,000 up to hundreds of thousands of dollars where they could never see their way out, as far as you can understand. Then it could be a deal breaker for them.
Yeah.
If it's, now, the difference is if both of you are coming in with debt and you have a work ethic and you guys can put together a get-out-of-debt plan and truly work it, then it's not a deal breaker. But you need to look at what is that person's work ethic, what is their character, what is their goal for paying their debt, even if you're not in the picture. Because if somebody has a plan and they've been working it, then, yes, you should go ahead on and marry them. But if they don't have a plan, but they're looking at you as the financial plan.
Right.
Then you need to back up. Because I like to tell, I don't pull no punches. I tell them a husband or a wife is not a financial plan. That's
right,
not
right.
To get out of debt plan.
No, no.
You need to come to the table showing them, I'm an adult. I've taken responsibility for the choices that I made, because that's what it's about, responsibility. And I have a plan to get out of debt. Now, we can work some things together. And then can you see yourself setting financial goals with that person? Can you see yourself saving money to buy a house or putting money away because you want to become parents one day and have children of your own and leave them a legacy of wealth versus a legacy of lack and debt?
Right, right. Now, what do you advise if a bride and groom just won't talk about money prior to marriage? I'm sure you've had that happen, where they don't want to talk about money. Should the wedding be called off if they don't want to sit down and have this talk?
What they really need to look at is this, because this does come up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to tell my couples is this. Okay, first and foremost, you need to look at your timing of having this conversation about money.
Mm-hmm.
We all know money is an emotional topic. It makes people go off the deep end. It makes people say words they never thought they could even say.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're approaching someone and you want to talk about money, it's all in the timing and the presentation. So are you coming to the table with a negative attitude about it already because there's a lack or a shortage? Or are you coming to the table in a preventative fashion saying, well, honey, because I love you, I want to talk about this so that we don't have any bumps in the road. It's about the presentation, and it's about the timing. If you know that your fiancé had a bad day at work and he's not happy when you come in the door, this isn't the time to be talking about nobody's money.
No.
Okay, maybe he got a creditor call that you might not even should have known about.
And I like the way that your example you gave about not only timing, but the climate of the conversation, how important it is to have that climate be just right. So if you have two people that refuse to talk about it, of course, then I would think that the wedding needs to be called off if they're not willing to talk about it before the marriage, because it is going to come up.
That's right. They already need to call it off because each one of them already has their own issue that maybe they are hiding their baggage and don't want to come forth about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think, you know, if I don't talk about it, then we don't have to address it. But there's nothing like financial baggage secrets coming out to tear something up. And so if they both won't talk about it, I advocate that they not walk down the aisle. They need to just take some time apart and really grow up and find out who they are when it comes to managing money and the truth of why they're mismanaging money and have allowed this behavior to continue.
Wow.
Because I want to share something. My husband and I recently were audited by the IRS.
Mm.
And I got the notification in the mail first. And me being the one who manages the money, I said, okay, so I know I can't tell him about this right away because you know how when people hear IRS, that whole stigma of IRS really just kind of upsets people right off the bat.
Right, right.
And I said, okay, so I'm gonna watch the climate and everything. And so I went ahead and called my accountant and had talked with him, and I said, okay, I'm not upset about anything, but here's what I'd like to do. Let's have a meeting so you can advise me on the best things that I need to do. And he was like, okay, good. You know, you're going to be fine. I said, oh, I know that. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I waited for about 3 or 4 days before I told my husband.
Yes.
And on that fourth day, he came home from work. He was in a great mood. And, you know, things were going real well. And I said, you know what? Look at what we got in the mail. And he said, oh, we've been audited. I said, yes, we are. But, you know, I got this. We're good. And he was like, okay, fine. And he didn't get upset about it. And so I worked literally for like 80-plus hours on getting everything together over about 2 months that they wanted. And when the meeting was to occur, I had set it up, and I said, you know what, I'll be the one that comes in. My husband has to take care of our kids. He doesn't need to be here. And, you know, if somebody tests him the right way, he will really react. And I was like, I don't need that.
No.
I'm the one that manages the money, and they were auditing our businesses, not even personal. The businesses, and I said, well, I'm the one that gets all the business numbers together to give to the accountant, so I'll go and meet. And I said, and I feel really good. And so my accountant, you know, he said, well, the meeting probably lasts, it can last up to 8 hours. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he said, no, this is just how it is. Here's what they're going to do, and this kind of stuff. And I said, okay, I'm good. And Flora, the meeting only lasted 2 hours.
Wow.
I had everything, and I had prayed, and I said, Lord, you show me, you know, what I need to know. And so when we went through, and she said, okay, here's a couple of things that you're missing. Can you just send them on to me, and we'll go from there? And I said, fine. And so when I sent them on, she came back, and she said, well, here's, you know, this. And I said, well, I think we're missing something. I need to kind of dispute some things. And she said, fine, send me another setup. And I did, and it was done.
Wow.
And he said, babe, I cannot tell you how grateful. He said, I would just not be doing it justice to say how much time you put into this.
Right, right.
And, you know, what I said to him was, but it speaks to your trust in me to do what I say and what I've been doing with our finances and the books.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now, that takes a lot within a marriage.
Yes, it does.
You have to know who you are marrying, and you have to know that they're for your overall good. No matter what, I'm looking out for the big picture.
That's right.
And so when somebody won't talk about the money, why is it? And sometimes it's not even us, you know, it's not even the person that you're looking at. It's some things in the past.
Right, right, okay.
Okay.
And they're afraid of disclosing it will somehow turn you against them or whatever. But it seems to me that the more you can be honest and upfront going in, no matter how bad the past is, that you enter it with a feeling of we're working together on this problem. We are going to solve it. And it gives a feeling of trust. It's like in your situation, your husband trusted you to handle it, and you did. That's beautiful. That's what marriage is about. Actually, the money part is just a reflection of the rest of the relationship, I would think.
It sure is. It sure is.
I want to thank you so much for being my guest, and thank the listeners for tuning in. Those of you who didn't get this, let me repeat that Dr. Taffy's book is Bride and Groom Money Talk, Frequently Asked Questions. You can get it over at her website, www.brideandgroommoneytalk.com. If you are entering a relationship, already in one, whatever the case may be, or single parents, you also can benefit from her counseling, from her seminars, from her workshops. So please take a moment and do yourself a big favor and use her services. Thank you so much, Dr. Taffy, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Goodbye
now. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, wasn't that a great interview? I want to thank you listeners for tuning in again. I want to thank you, and I want to thank Dr. Taffy again. I invite all of you to join me again next Monday, September 12th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another informative and exciting show. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I'm going to ask you to continue to have a wonderful Labor Day and a blessed week. And remember to color your life happy.